Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this time that we can share together. Lord, that we can enjoy being in your presence and in fellowship with one another. Lord, I pray that you would make this time a time of worship as well, as we seek you in your word. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we're going to look at the frogfish. You would think that I'm making this up, but it is real. It's another strange creature for which those who believe in evolution can find no history. Not only do evolutionists admit that the frogfish are not related by evolution to any other creature, but also they can find no relationship among 35 to 41 known species of the frogfish. There's lots of different ones. Frogfish live in many different shallow sea areas. They are called frogfish because they have a wide mouth and a face like a frog. Isn't he cute? Ugh. Well, in addition, their front fins are extensions, or like the ends, they're like fat frog legs, yet they also have a fleshy lure suspended on sort of a pole coming out of their forehead, like a deep water angler fish. And like the angler, the frogfish uses this bait to lure lunch into its big mouth.
Yeah.
Gaping mouth, as a matter of fact. But like the platypus, the frogfish unites very different characteristics of several creatures into one unlikely but imaginative creation. Evolutionists are unable to imagine the evolutionary history for this creature. And so the frogfish is a dramatic testimony of the fact that God has created all creatures according to his unlimited creativity, fully formed and so unique that sometimes evolutionists can't even invent an evolutionary history for them. Yeah, I like the frogfish. I don't want it around me, but I like the frogfish. Anyway, you know, things change really quickly, don't they? I mean, it's just crazy in this world how many things change and how fast they change. We have had that happen in the last few weeks and almost a month now. But, you know, Hambone, bang, you know, Dennis Wilson, wham, you know, we visited Wendy's mom or sister and you know, 55. Endured, you know, bang, and he's in the hospital. It's like all these plans, all these things that we had, great things figured out for us, you know, like tomorrow I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or do it, you know, I'm flying off to Florida to visit my brother. And, you know, then what happens? Things change so fast. I want to take us to James chapter 4, 1843. In your pew Bible, James chapter 4, 1843, in your pew Bibles. And verse 13, James chapter 4, starting in verse 13. James addresses this, and he says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good and he ought to do and doesn't do it is sin." You know, in this scripture, I couldn't help but notice this one word, mist. King James calls it a vapor. And you know, it's kind of what we really are in our lives. We have our plans. We feel cheated sometimes when God doesn't let us or allow it or it doesn't unfold before us. We're like little children, you know, spoiled in some ways. And we kind of just pound our fists and say, "Why, God? I had all these plans." And then something strikes us and we don't get it. you know, mist and vapor. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look up in the sky and I see jets flying across the sky. And when you see those jets flying across the sky, don't you see a vapor trail, they call it. A vapor trail. It doesn't last very long. Some of them last a little longer than others. You know, they go across the sky pretty long. But you look up there eventually and they're gone. You know, it doesn't last very long. Some of them don't last long at all. Others a little bit longer. It's kind of like our lives, isn't it? Just gone like that. Things change so quickly. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Maybe that's a good thing. You know, I hate to think what I would be like if I knew what tomorrow was going to bring. If I knew what my future was going to bring. If I knew how I was going to die in this world. I don't know if I want to know that. I don't know about you, but I think I want to be in the dark about that. I don't know how long I have, but we're going to look at scripture that tells us why we don't have to worry about that. You know, in John chapter 3, 16-18 in your few Bibles, John chapter 3, I want you to go there. We're not going to look at 3:16. Maybe you think that we're going to go there, but we're going to look right at the last two verses of that chapter, 16:18, John chapter 3, verses 35 and 36. It says, "The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." Eternal life is for those who believe. You know, vapor is only here for a short time, but eternal life, you know that? Have you ever experienced eternity? No, you haven't. We don't even have a clue about eternity because we're ruled by the time clock and by our watches. You know, I look at my watch occasionally, oh, I've got to get going. But eternity, we won't have to look at our watch, we won't have to hit a time clock or an alarm clock. We won't have to. We can sleep as long as we want. We won't need sleep. Did you know that? We won't even need sleep. We're going to be on fire all the time. Eternity just buzzing, just going here, going there, doing things for God. I don't know what all we're going to do, but it's eternity. Somebody said you take eternity one grain of sand at a time. From the ocean, all the oceans of the world, one sand grain at a time, pick it up and move it, pick it up and move it, pick it. That's kind of like eternity, but it's not. Because you will run out of sand eventually, but eternity you will never run out. Isn't that great? Our life is but a vapor, but I can have eternal life in Jesus Christ. I want you to look at another scripture in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 19, 17:15 in your pew Bibles. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 19. 17:15, Romans 6, verse 15. "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural self, just as you used to offer your parts of your body in slavery to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness. So now offer them in slavery and righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, we get eternal life. But before, you were weak. Before, you had offered yourselves in slavery to sin because you had no other life. I know that full well. I mean, you know some of my past life. I don't share it a lot because it's shameful. But, you know, it's all about the party. It's all about the, you know, do what feels good life. And you do all those things and you surrender yourself because you have no other ability because you're in slavery to sin. You can't say no because you're in slavery to sin. So everywhere it drags you, you go along. You can't cut the chains because they're solid. But when you became a Christian, when you believed in Christ as your Savior, He broke those chains. You become enslaved to God. Now, instead of doing those things that you normally would do, you can say no. Now, I remember years ago the smoking ad, you know, and Bush was in office. He said, "Just say no." Well, that sounds so simple. It's not so easy sometimes to say no. But we have the ability within us to say no because the Holy Spirit lives within us. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer out of control. It says here in verse 20, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. You didn't have any righteousness. And my righteousness was like filthy rags. I had nothing good in me. I didn't want to do anything good. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And that happened to be things that I wouldn't want to talk about. But once I became a Christian, you know what God did? It's so amazing what God did. I shared this illustration last night too. He took a vessel, this body, this vessel of mine, that was used for all kinds of stupid things, unrighteous things. He took the vessel that had garbage in it, that had wastewater in it. He took that vessel and He cleaned it out. He scrubbed it out. Only He can do that. He's got the special cleaner. You know, He's like the Mr. Clean of Mr. Cleans. And He scrubbed that vessel out and He cleaned it to the point where I can have fresh, clean drinking water in it. And that's why it says here in verse 22, now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. Now that doesn't mean that I'm sinless, because there's times that I don't do what God wants me to do. That's sin. But that's not my lifestyle. I'm not living my life according to that. And when I realize what's been done, you know, I go to Him right away and confess it. And He cleans it out again. But my life now, I have a holiness, a righteousness, not my own. He cleaned it out, coated it with Jesus Christ. And now Jesus Christ is my righteousness. He gives me the ability to say no. He gives me the ability to live my life according to the Scriptures, according to His desire, His will. And you know what the result is? It says it right there. Eternal life. For verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. Destruction. I don't know anybody who lives a life of sin and feels great about it. Something always happens that takes them down. You know, you can talk all you want about the benefits of sin or how good it feels, but all it does, all it's meant to do, is death and destruction. That's all the result of sin is, death and destruction. And you can see the world scattered with all those illustrations of people who have ruined their lives because of sin. Because they have no ability to say no. Our lives are like a vapor. Not very much time to do what we would like to do. And so much is wasted because we don't follow what God wants. You know, I can't promise you a certain amount of time in this world. But I can promise you, if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you will have eternal life. I can promise that. Because God promised it. See, I'm just sharing what He shared. And so it's not on my shoulders. It's on His shoulders. And I trust what He said because everything along the way, when I turn my life over to Him, it's just crazy what goes on. You know, you pray for something and it happens. And I'm going to share that story. Yeah, Kathy's got like, don't do that. The other day I said, oh, a red squirrel's on the bird feeder. I'm going to shoot him. So I got the rifle out. And I went out there in the back porch and I had him zeroed in and click. I pulled the round out and then it jammed the gun. I went back in the house and I said, doggone, well, I don't know what happened. Kathy says, I confess. When you went out on the porch to shoot that poor little squirrel, I prayed that you wouldn't get it done. It wouldn't happen. Now, coincidence, you might say. I think not. She's not on my list. But it was funny because that gun is always fired. The squirrel was saved. Not to eternal life, but his life is a vapor too. But you know, that's what we have. We have prayer, and not always the prayers would be answered. You know, God sometimes He says maybe or no. He leads us as He desires, as He knows best for our life. I asked a person one time, I said, do you give your child candy all the time? Do you give them everything they want? I see kids all the time in Walmart going through the aisles. I want it, I want it, I want it. And parents are saying, no, 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 all the way through the aisle. And the kids just pull a big fit till they usher the kid outside because the kid's just gone crazy. Do you always succumb to the child? If you did, you'd have a pile in your grocery cart that would be full of things you don't need, candy included. You don't do that because you would spoil a child. So you give them what they should have. Kathy's been doing that with me. You know, I'm going to feed you what you should have. And I'm going, please, no. I get to eat good things, healthy food. She does allow me to have chocolate and things too. So I'm in good shape. But we don't always give our children everything they want because we want the good things. We want the best for them. Why don't you go to Galatians? It's 1774 in your pew Bibles. 1774. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and starting in verse 7. I just got to get there. One page at a time. All right. Starting verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. Don't fool yourselves. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap what? Destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. God is not mocked. He isn't fooled by our great plans and deceptions. I can't go to God and say, you know, I'm just going to have one cookie. God knows better. He isn't fooled by my loopholes. I can't lie to Him because He knows the truth. I shared this illustration the other day too, yesterday. You know, you've watched Get Smart, haven't you? He was one of my favorites, you know, Get Smart. And remember he would say, to the evil guy, he would say, there are 10,000 military out there with automatic weapons and a bazooka. And the evil guy would say, I find that hard to believe. And then get smart, Maxwell, he'd say, well, would you believe 10 Cub Scouts and a G&I dog or something like that? And then he would say, I don't think so. God is just like that. You can tell him all you want. He's going to say, I know better. I don't believe it. You can stop trying to fool him. You can stop trying to do things and say and justify them and say, oh, it's going to be okay. Because God, in His Word, says it one way or the other. And if you're doing something against what God says in His Word, it's wrong. So, you can believe and be saved according to the Scripture, or reject and be punished. There's no lawyers that are going to help you. There's no loopholes in the law. There's no catches and no mistakes. When you stand before God, it will be salvation in Christ or trying to do it on your own. And if you try to do it on your own, you will fail. In John chapter 14, last scripture, 16:41, in your pew Bibles. John chapter 14, right away, verse 1, 16:41, in the pew Bible. He says, this is Jesus talking now, do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't worry, don't fret, don't get upset. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, many mansions, many dwelling places, however you want to call it, there's a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going. Thomas, the lawyer, I don't know if he's a lawyer or not, but he should have been. Thomas, he says, I don't know the way you're going. I don't know the place. How do we know the way? Remember, he was also the one that said, I'm not going to believe anything until I can feel the nail print and the wound in his side. I'm not believing that Jesus is risen from the grave. So Jesus takes him and says to everybody, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the truth. Because Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the truth and the life. Now, people look at us and they say, how can you be so narrow-minded? We were watching a film the other day, and it was just crazy because all of a sudden it was this all religions lead to the right place, and you know, this and that, and heaven is here on earth if you make it that way. And I'm going, oh my gosh, you know, it's a movie that preaches to you. Who wants preaching, right? You know, the thing is that Jesus said it, God said it, it's in His Word. As you go through all over the Bible, you find that it's truth, 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 that even the history part of the Bible is truth, truth, truth. They've even used it to unearth different civilizations because the Bible tells them where it's at. So all along, prophecies have been fulfilled. Constantly we see truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And so, here it is. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I didn't say it, He said it. I believe it because He's God. He's proved it over and over again. We're going to see it throughout this Easter holiday. I'm going to share those things with you. But Jesus is God in the flesh. And now, He's in heaven with God the Father. And they share with us the truth. Now, again, we can justify, talk about, rule away, anything we want to do. The world does it all the time. God is dead. God doesn't love you. God is this. God is that. There is no salvation. All, everything works its way. Heaven on earth, whatever it is. They can say whatever they want to say. It does not change what the Bible says. It does not change what God says. We can argue with it. We can put it all to rest. We can not believe it if you want to. But that's not going to change a thing. I can stand on the railroad track and a train can be whistling and coming down the track and I can say, I don't believe it. But you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get hit by a train. And being that I don't believe it doesn't change anything. So believe or don't believe. But not believing, you've taken an awful chance. Because your life is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Brent said it before, I like what he said, it's only a breath away. Life can be gone in a breath. And then what? So I want us to close in prayer. Anyone that has not given their lives to Christ, this is a great time to do it. I'll share a prayer. You can pray it. You don't have to come up front. You don't have to shout out anything. But, you know, I would request that if you accept Jesus as your Savior, if you pray that prayer, there's deacons here. There's myself. Talk to us. Ask us. If you don't have a Bible, we got them here. We'll give them to you. So let's bow our heads in prayer as we close. Father, we thank you so much because you have given us eternal life. If we only just believe in you, just to give our lives to you. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a horrible thing because you give us joy. You complete our lives. And in this short life that we have, in this vapor of a life that we have, we can enjoy all the things that you've given us, as well as passing on the message of hope to others, just as that 13-year-old boy realized and is doing in Uganda. How amazing is that? Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts, that those that maybe haven't accepted you as Savior would just pray, Lord, come into my life. I am not equipped. I need you in my life. I'm not ready. Lord, that you would fill them with your Spirit. That you would help them to become your children. And show them all the wonders of your ministry and being a child of yours. Lord, I pray that those that are struggling would cease their struggles. Just give it all to you. Lord, our life is but a vapor. It's not here very long. Even if we're here for 80, 90 years, it's not that long. It goes so fast. Lord, I pray that you would help us to stand up for you. That we would share the message of hope with others around us. That we would take it seriously as people that are suffering horrendous things for you. We aren't in that way at all. Lord, I pray that you build in us your word. Lord, now as we close this time, I pray that you would give us just a great blessing, knowing that you are our Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to look up on the screens. We got our last song is 352, "As He Hideth My Soul." And we'll sing two verses of that, 352. It'll be up on the screen, "He Hideth My Soul." First and last verse.